Blog Talk Radio.
In honor of Bruce Mitchell and our guest this morning, the Universal Heartthrob, Austin Idol, coming up on the show today. It's going to be a great, great show. I'm so excited. It's Jim Valley, and we are here live on Saturday morning for Saturday Morning Wrestling each and every Saturday from 8:30 my time till around, 10 o'clock or so my time, 11:30 a.m. on the East Coast, and you know where you live, so you know what the times are. But either way, we are glad you're here, and I'm really glad you're here for a show like today. I've interviewed a lot of people in my career. I've interviewed presidents. I've interviewed big celebrities, a lot of newsmakers in my time, and a lot of wrestlers. I've had a lot of wrestlers on my old Total Chaos Wrestling show from Portland, which you can hear if you're a VIP member for Torch members. And, I've interviewed just a lot of people. And I don't get excited about too many things, and I'm really excited today because Austin Idol does not do too many interviews. He's a bit elusive, and he's still a bit, all these years later, still a bit of a mystery. He's always kind of a guy who has written his own ticket and has done what he wanted to do and went out and did it, or just took off if it wasn't on his terms. He's definitely a guy who, when they sang the song, "I Did It My Way," they're talking about Austin Idol. But this should be a fun show. If you've never heard of Austin Idol, let me see what I can do to explain who he is and why he's so freaking cool. I think it was it's been a couple of years now, but I know that, The Rock, the biggest movie star in the world, he watches a lot of wrestling, a lot of old wrestling in his downtime, from what I understand. And I think it was Dave Meltzer on one of his shows, or somebody's show, I think I heard, mentioned that The Rock just discovered fairly recently, in the last few years, just discovered Austin Idol, which is kind of odd considering that The Rock's dad, Rocky Johnson, went through Memphis and more than likely probably wrestled Austin Idol, but The Rock just discovered Austin Idol, and he was enthralled with Austin Idol, and it makes a lot of sense why. Austin Idol, one of those guys sort of in the mold of superstar Billy Graham or Jesse Ventura, and indeed Hulk Hogan. The blonde hair, the colorful tights, the body carved out of granite, and the promos. Austin Idol had a lot of swag, lots and lots of swagger on Austin Idol, and he was a great promo, and just a ton of charisma for Austin Idol. He also had the robes, of course, and I think some people have called him, like, you know, maybe a cross between Ric Flair and superstar Billy Graham, and that's a good way to describe him, but unlike some other wrestlers who did the blonde hair, muscular gimmick, I never saw him as imitating anybody. I never saw him as an impersonator, even though there were some similar characteristics for Austin Idol. I always saw him as his own guy, and a guy who kind of did his own thing, and that's just kind of happened to be where he was. So the first time I ever saw Austin Idol was in Portland. He came through Portland, and Portland had some colorful guys. I mean, we had Jesse Ventura come through, and Buddy Rose certainly had some color, but Portland was kind of a tough man territory where you had to be tough to be there. You know, a lot of blood and guts. And so that's why Austin Idol stuck out, because we never really had too many body guys until Billy Jack came around. And so he really stood out as far as the robes and the blonde hair and the body and the charisma and the interviews. But he was only around maybe, you know, a couple of months, and he didn't, you know, he came in, made a big splash, and then it was obvious that he wasn't happy, because then he was just sort of a mid-card guy, but he definitely could have been a player. But I think, you know, with Buddy Rose and some of the homesteaders in Portland, it never really worked out, and I've never really gotten an answer from Austin Idol as to what took so long and why he, you know, didn't really break out in Portland. You know, I think it's an RF video he did. I think that's who it was. I don't know. God, some of those shoot videos, just awful. Because they never follow up. It's like they have this list of questions. They go, okay, I have my paper here, and they list like a timeline. So what was it like wrestling Jerry Lawler? Oh, it was okay. And they move on to the next question. They never do any follow-ups. Man, those things, for the most part, they suck. That's why it's great to be a Torch VIP member, because, like, for example, on Thursday, interview Thursday with Wade Keller, he had Dutch Mantel on, and, oh my goodness, they actually had a conversation. Wade just didn't have a script that he stuck to and just asked questions, got a basic answer, and moved on to the next thing. And that's why you should be a Torch VIP member, because you get all of this great content. And as I've mentioned, and someone tweeted out to Wade that it should be the slogan for Torch VIP, that you'd have to be homeless to get through all of the content that we provide here if you're a VIP member. Let's go to pwtorch.com/govip and sign up now. I believe there's a special happening right now, so be sure to get on that and make it happen. But that's one of the benefits of the Torch with many of these Torch talks, you know, and Wade was the pioneer in Torch Talks, where it was actual shoot questions and shoot answers versus sticking to storylines and kayfabe. And like I said, it wasn't just a basic question. Hey, how is so-and-so, or what was this territory like? And then they move on to the next question because they have no back knowledge. But that's the benefit of signing up for the Torch. So sign up to pwtorch.com/govip. Another great thing about this is interactive. So if you lived through Austin Idol's career, maybe you saw him in Southeastern, maybe you saw him in Memphis, you saw him in Portland like I did. I think he worked at Detroit. He worked, obviously, Georgia in the early days of Georgia Championship Wrestling when it was going live over the satellite, and it was the Superstation, and it was the biggest show on cable. Austin Idol was there along with Tommy Rich and the Freebirds and many others. So Austin Idol has had quite the storied career. Now, if you're not familiar with Austin Idol, or you're just kind of vaguely familiar, one thing I do want to clarify is that Austin Idol was in a plane crash. And it's not the Ric Flair plane crash. He was not in the same plane crash as Ric Flair. He was in the plane crash with Gary Hart. He was also in the plane crash. The same crash took the life of Bobby Shane, who was the king of wrestling. And Jerry Lawler, with permission, borrowed the crown gimmick from Bobby Shane. And by all accounts, I never saw Bobby Shane. He was before my time, but by everyone's account, Bobby Shane was on his way to being a major, major star. He kind of had a weird look, Bobby Shane. He had kind of a weird body, no real muscle and everything. But by all accounts, he was supposed to be a big, big star. So anyway, if you have questions about the plane crash or about his time, he was also in WWF for a while. But you can email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We already have some questions lined up, which I love, for Austin Idol. Lots of buzz about Austin Idol, which I love. Probably some of the most buzz we've had for a guest here on Saturday Morning Wrestling. So that's pretty awesome. So if you you want to do that, you can email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Also, you can tweet me at Jim Valley. Also, be sure to follow me at Jim Valley. I've been getting some more followers, which is great. But be sure and do that. So I got the Twitter up. I've got the email up. And also, of course, you can always call in at 646-721-9828. 646-721-9828. And you can call up and talk with the great Austin Idol. And he is amazing. So I'm really looking forward to talking with Austin Idol today. And I hope you are too. So we'll be talking to Austin Idol here coming up. It's the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley on Saturday Morning Wrestling here on Blog Talk Radio.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
And we're back on Saturday Morning Wrestling on PW Torch Livecast. And it's Jim Valley here hanging out with you, looking forward to talking with one of my favorite guys, Austin Idol. And by the way, I need to mention that Austin Idol is going to be at the NWA Charlotte Fan Fest, the fan fest that happens each and every year in Charlotte, and I'm going to be going there. And this year it's going to be another great lineup. I don't know how they do this each and every time. There's going to be a Mickey James Q&A added to opening day on August 4th in Charlotte. So that's something to look forward to. Also, they do a Hall of Heroes. And they're going to be honoring the Road Warriors this year. They're going to be honoring Dusty Rhodes. His family is going to be there to induct Dusty Rhodes into the Hall of Heroes. Jeannie Clark, the famous Lady Blossom from World Class Wrestling and WCW, the former wife of not only Stone Cold Steve Austin, But Chris Adams and Billy Jack Haynes is going to be there. So that should be pretty exciting. She's got a new book out called Through the Shattered Glass. But sign up, NWALegends.com, and you can book your hotel rooms now each and every year. It's a pretty amazing time. Bruce Mitchell's always there. Mike Mooneyham is there. David Wills, the It's Still Real to Me, Damn It guy, is always going to be there. So, and looks like I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be filling in for Pat McNeil on the PW Torch livecast on that Wednesday, on Wednesday the 3rd, prior to the show. So I'm going to be doing some stuff there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to being out there. And if you happen to see me, be sure and say hi. If you're one of the three people who know who I am, that's cool. So looking forward to that. But Charlotte's a lot of fun. It's like a homecoming for so many people. Even if you've never gone before, you pick up right away that there's a lot of people who have a ton of history together and went to the matches, went to all the Crockett Territory matches together and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun. They have autographs. They have photos. Jim Cornette is going to be doing a Q&A live, and he does a late night gig. And that's pretty fun because, you know, Cornette, he goes off on a lot of things, and he can be a little blue sometimes, I guess is what I'm saying. But so it should be a lot of fun. But NWALegends.com to find out more about the NWA Legends Fan Fest, Mid-Atlantic Memories. If you're a fan of Crockett, there's going to be so many people there. It's going to be amazing. So be sure to go. But Austin Idol is going to be one of the people appearing at NWA Fan Fest. So be sure to show up because it's a rare appearance. Austin Idol does not do a lot of appearances, and that's why I'm so excited for him to be on the live cast today. So if you want to talk to Austin Idol, 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828. And then push 1 to get in the queue. For some reason, I don't know why Blog Talk does this, but when they call in, they don't tell you to push 1 anymore, so you just got to kind of know how to do that, because otherwise you're just in the queue, and I don't know if you're listening live or you want to talk to somebody, so be sure and do that. By the way, last week, if you listen live, we started about a half hour late, and that was an issue with Blog Talk. That wasn't an issue with the Torch or me or anything else. That was Blog Talk Radio, just one of those things. So just one of those things that happens. But we did get George South on, and George South is in the archives. You can listen to it at pwtorch.com. Livecast.com, or if you're a VIP member, you can listen to it ad-free. If you're a PW Torch VIP member, just listen to it through the website. But George South was a lot of fun. Yeah, buddy. I wish I was from the South and was happy-go-lucky and just not a care in the world and let things roll off my back. George South just sounds like the happiest guy, didn't he? Yeah, buddy. Hey, George, tell me about wrestling the Mulkeys. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. And I just wish I was like that. But we here in the Northwest, we're just so dull and boring and have no color like that. I wish I was cool like George South. But, oh, well, we're not. So I want to mention, of course, obviously you know a lot about Austin Idol. Probably the most famous thing he ever did was the match with Jerry Lawler and Tommy Rich. And it's on YouTube, and I think I tweeted it out. It's about a two-hour clip on YouTube with all the highlights of the famous feud with Tommy Rich and Jerry Lawler and the cage match. And you know, Memphis was pretty much on the downward swing at this point. And that may have been, in a lot of people's minds, the last big hurrah for Memphis wrestling. And they drew some houses after that, but nothing, I think, to that degree as far as that goes. And, you know, Austin Idol also one of the first Paul Heyman guys, because Paul Heyman managed Austin Idol and Tommy Rich in that feud against Jerry Lawler. And if you haven't seen it, it's pretty amazing. It starts out with Tommy Rich coming out. Tommy Rich is a good guy, and the fans are happy to see him. And he just heard the news in his interview with Lance Russell that Jerry Lawler was going to get a title shot against Nick Bockwinkel for the AWA World Heavyweight Championship. And Tommy Rich is upset because he was said that Eddie Marlin promised him if he was coming in that he was going to be able to get a shot at Nick Bockwinkel. And sure enough, there's Jerry Lawler getting yet another shot. Well, things build and build and build until Tommy Rich is a full-fledged heel. And then suddenly Austin Idol gets involved in the feud, and it's a three-way match with Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol and Tommy Rich. And they do this match, this round-robin match in Memphis, where Jerry Lawler fights Tommy Rich first, and that ends in a disqualification because of blood. They beat up Jerry Lawler, and Austin Idol comes in and double teams on Jerry Lawler. And then the next match starts immediately after, so the bad guys obviously have a huge advantage over Jerry Lawler. He's beaten, he's bloody, and now they're cheating. They clearly didn't care about the match. Well, Jerry Lawler was going to get surgery. He was going to get the snip-snip surgery, and they post Jerry Lawler. Austin Idol grabs one leg, and Tommy Rich grabs the other, and they grab him and pull him down on the ring post, and right on the crotch, and they post Jerry Lawler to cover up for his surgery, because, you know, and he was in the hospital, and people believed it. And this eventually led to a huge match inside a cage with Austin Idol versus Jerry Lawler with Jerry Lawler's hair on the line. And Austin Idol made the promise that if he lost to Jerry Lawler, that he would refund the money of everyone's ticket price in attendance that night in the Mid-South Coliseum. And they had this huge cage, not unlike a Hell in the Cell cage, where it was all the way around the ringside area. And the match starts. It's a pretty brutal match. And then, sure enough, the referee gets knocked out because it's Memphis. And out from underneath the ring comes Tommy Rich, who's been gone for a couple of weeks because Jerry Lawler injured him. So the fans had kind of forgotten about Tommy Rich, and it was this huge, huge surprise. And they double-team Jerry Lawler, and the referee wakes up, and they pin Jerry Lawler in the middle of the ring, and they shave Jerry Lawler's head. And it turns out it was Lawler's personal barber, and they didn't really take that much off the top. They didn't really shave his head bald. It was just kind of a short cut. Actually, it looks pretty good on him, to be honest. It looked really good, but and the fans, there was a riot. I mean, Austin Idol will tell the story, but they had to stay in the ring for probably like at least a half an hour because the fans were that mad about what happened. It was a big, big deal. Even the Aftermags covered it. And it was like probably, like I said, one of the last major angles in Memphis. I mean, I think it probably even drew better than when Jerry Lawler won the AWA world title not long after that. But it was a pretty big deal. But Austin Idol was known for a guy who, a lot of people in the wrestling business didn't like him because he did what he wanted to do. If he didn't like something, he'd just, up and leave the territory. And, he's known for no-showing things. And there's a famous story, which is hilarious, which I'll let him tell. I won't spoil it for you if you don't know it, but there's a funny story about him winning a battle royal and what happened after he won the battle royal for a Fred Ward in Georgia, and I'll let him tell that one. So that's a great story. That's going to be worth its weight in gold. Now, Austin Idol is not unlike Ric Flair in the sense that Austin Idol started in the early 70s wrestling, and he wrestled under the name Iron Mike McCord. And if you've seen the pictures of Ric Flair teaming with Rip Hawk and the Carolinas, and you've seen him maybe in the movie The Wrestler or wrestling in the AWA, you know, when he was just a rookie with brown hair, Ric Flair is this stocky, fat guy. And a lot of that has to do with Ric Flair was Ken Patera's roommate back then in the AWA, and Ken Patera was an Olympic, level power lifter. He was a world-class power lifter. And back in those days, that was what a strong man looked like. You had, I forget the guy's name, but Alexi, the power lifter from Russia, who was very, very famous. I mean, you saw him in the wide world of sports all the time, and he was very famous because, you know, this was the Cold War still, and Russia and the United States competed against each other, and, you know, all the Soviet athletes and the German athletes were just jacked up on steroids and everything. And so these big, heavy, bulky guys were lifting these enormous weights at the time. And Ric Flair looked like that, and so did Austin Idler, Iron Mike McCord. And not unlike Ric Flair, he was in a plane crash, and he came back as Austin Idol. And when he came back, he was slim and muscular, and he, you know, he had the wrap down, and he had the blonde hair, and, you know, was off to the races. But, and that's the other thing we need to talk about, is Austin Idol has the reputation for not wanting to travel a lot. And I'm curious if that has to do with him him being on the road, with the plane crash, or him with just not wanting to travel much. He was a guy who seemed to like his off time and seemed to like his quality of life. But he's a fascinating character in the world of wrestling, and I'm really glad you're going to enjoy this this podcast with us. But so coming up in just a little bit, we will have the amazing Austin Idol in just a little bit. So hang on for Austin Idol as he is on the way here on the PW Torch Livecast on Saturday Morning Rest.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the livecast. In between livecast listens or while you're listening to the livecast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
And we're back on Saturday Morning Wrestling. It's Jim Valley on the PW Torch Livecast. And joining us now, I'm super excited to have him on the show. One of the most elusive interviews in wrestling. The women's pet, the man's regret. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, the universal heartthrob, Austin Idol. Thank you so much for joining us, Austin.
Hey, Jim, it's my pleasure, man. What an introduction. Yeah, I just called out of a cave and, you know, surfaced, and it's good to be with you, man.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I've interviewed a lot of people in my career, and you are a get that I've wanted for a long, long time. I've been a big fan of yours. Well, I grew up in the Portland area, so I saw you in Portland wrestling for a while, and I saw you on one of your shoot interviews where you talked about how you thought Portland was kind of a Mickey Mouse operation. Can you elaborate? Can you elaborate on that? Why didn't you like Portland?
I started in Florida with the Eddie Graham gang, you know, and Jack Briscoe, Bob Roop, and, you know, that was a powerhouse lineup of guys they had there. And, you know, some very legitimate athletes. And the way Eddie Graham ran that business, it was so incredibly credible. And it was viewed, you know, throughout the state of Florida. I mean, it wasn't like the NFL, but, you know, it was extremely credible. So if you were on television, you were wrestling with that Florida Championship Wrestling group, the way they ran their business, it was totally different. And I had, so that's where I really kind of, that's where I got my beginning, you know. And I ended up, I want to give, let me back a little bit, just a little bit before Portland, okay, Jim? I went to Dallas, Texas. This was the first time I wrestled really as Austin Idol in Dallas, right? And I did okay there. I did fine, actually, and I was really doing well. And we were in Dallas one night, and it was billed as a double main event. And I was wrestling Red Bastien, who was the booker then, okay? A double main event. And then Billy Graham and Ken Patera were in a weightlifting contest. But anyway, it was a double main event, and back then they would pay you cash at the end of the night, but it was a double main event, and that's how it was booked, okay? So when I got my payoff that night, Red Bastien gave me my money, and I think, and this is going way back, you know, but I think it was like $400 or $500 cash, but I knew it should have been more. I mean, I knew it. The place was packed, and it was just a great card, so I said to Red, there's a mistake here. I said, this is not main event money. He says, well, yeah, it is. Well, no, he said, no, it's not, because we're in the semi-main event. I said, no, we're not. This thing has been promoted and booked as the double main event. It's on the card. It's on the programs. It was on television. I said, come on, you owe me money. He said, well, you'll have to take that up with Fritz Von Erich. And Fritz obviously owned he owned the company. He owned the business. This was before cell phones. So I said, okay, I will. So when I finished up, you know, got my shower, got my bag and everything, I went to a phone booth. I mean, literally right outside the Sportatorium there is where they held the matches in Dallas. And I called Fritz, and it must have been 10:30 at night. He answered the phone. Who is this? Real gruff, right? So I told him, and I said, in a nice way, I said, Fritz, there's been a mistake. You know, I didn't receive the money I should have received. Well, this is all you deserved, and yada, yada, yada. So the bottom line was, I could see he wasn't going to give me any more money, so I thought, the hell with it, man. So I said, well, you know, I'll just take this to the limit. And I gave him an ultimatum. Now, no one gives Fritz Von Erich an ultimatum, but I did. I said, Fritz, you got two choices. You're either going to pay me what you owe me, or I'm leaving effective immediately. If you do, you'll never work again. Right? He blackballed me. Well, I got booked in Portland because Portland was the next jump, really, from Dallas. I said, okay, I'll go to Portland. I've always heard great things about Portland. And so I'll give it a shot. And I went out there. And when I went out there, I immediately had heat with the office. And I think Dutch Savage,
the booker. Yeah.
And I think he was the booker. And he had, obviously, I mean, like anywhere else, he had his guys, you know. And immediately, I could tell I got heat with the guy. He wasn't happy that I was making great promos. And I was doing, you know, starting to really hone my promo skills at that point. And I was hungry. I mean, I was really hungry. And I wanted to make a splash and make money. So, and I had the robes and yada, yada. So, I immediately had heat with Dutch Savage and his inner circle of people that said, oh, man, we don't want him around. They didn't want the competition is what it was. They didn't want to get knocked out of a spot. So Dutch never pushed me. And I went to, was it Don Owen, the promoter?
Yep.
Yep, I went to Don. And
yep, it was Don.
Voiced,
yep, Don Owen.
Yep, and I went and I voiced my concerns. I said, Don, listen. You know, you told me when I came out here you were going to give me all the opportunity in the world. You're holding me back. Your guy's holding me back. Are you going to let me go and do my thing or what? And, of course, they went back. You know, he points the finger at Dutch. Dutch points the finger at Don. And I said, the hell with this. I don't need it. You know, I'm out of here. Boom. Because I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, you did wrestle Jimmy Snuka quite a bit. He seemed to be, like, your main top opponent.
Snuka?
Yeah, Snuka.
Yeah, but still, they wouldn't turn me loose. You know, they wouldn't give me the big push. You know, and they wouldn't do it. And I mean, I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I wasn't going to waste my time out there, because I knew that's what it was. It was a waste of time. So I said, forget about it. You know, I'll go back. I'll just go back to Florida, go back to Tampa, and I'll take a little time off and kind of, start looking at what the next step is. And that's why I didn't stay there. There was no future for me in Portland, Oregon. My opinion was they were running it like a Mickey Mouse territory. I mean, they really did. They had a drunk as a booker. I'm just being upfront and honest. They had a drunk as a booker, and they didn't have a clue what they were doing. Eventually, they did well, especially when Piper got in, the whole thing, but I was gone. And, I have no regrets about that.
I appreciate that, man. I always wanted to know what the deal was, because you made quite an impression on me. I thought you were great. I was really disappointed when you weren't on my TV anymore. It's too bad it didn't.
I thought I was great too. But you and I are the only ones that thought I was great.
Well, we both have excellent taste. What can I say?
So there you
we're
go.
Talking with all. We're talking with Austin Idol, the Universal heartthrob. He's going to be at NWA Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, August 4th through the 8th, or the 7th or 8th, I forget. Anyway, the 7th, sorry. But on Friday, August 5th, he's going to have a Q&A with Austin Idol, of rare Q&A, plus photo ops and autographs on that Friday, August the 5th. You can find out more at NWALegends.com. Now, Let's branch off here from Portland. And you're a guy who I guess part of your legend, your reputation, is that when things don't suit you, you have no fear of just packing up and going on and moving.
Yep. Still there, Jim? Yeah, you kind of cut out on me a little bit, but yeah, you're right. If I didn't like the way things were going, I would just leave.
Did that ever, in your mind, ever come back to bite you?
Maybe with Vince. Although I did just up and leave them. I mean, I gave him a notice, But maybe with Vince, Junior probably, I'm guessing, maybe not. I kind of think maybe he held that against me, because I gave a notice to his father at the time, and they treated me very, very well. But, I was just, I'd had enough of it, and I figured, I can always come back here in the future.
And you were wrestling as Iron Mike McCord then, right? We're talking early 70s with Pedro Morales.
Yeah, 73, and that was really, it was a good break for me, it really was. I'd had a previous great break in Australia, great break there, and prior to that, I had a really good break in Charlotte. So, I was kind of on a roll, and certainly being in New York, young kid, and Vince McMahon Sr. really, really liked me, put me with Lou Albano. That was automatic, because Lou was so hot and so over. So anybody, association with Lou was automatically, that was an advantage for me. And I had a nice little run there. And Vince kept his word. Everything he said to me that he was going to do, he did it, But after about a year, I think it was about a year, Jim, I decided, ice, sleet, snow, whatever. Palm trees were beckoning me in the beach. I go back to Florida.
Hey, we got an email from Brian from Phoenix, who says, "Hello, Mr. Idol. Can you please discuss your title matches against WWF champion Pedro Morales?" And he says, "I've also read reports on how energetic the early 70s Madison Square Garden fans were. What was it like as the bad guy wrestling in front of those fans?"
Well, here's the thing about that. Pedro was a great champion, a great athlete. He really, really was. I mean, he was so electrifying, and he had a lot of charisma. But it was dangerous. It was very, very dangerous, especially in some of the smaller venues where the police were afraid because they were outnumbered, and Pedro had a huge ethnic following. Okay. and they would tend to get out of control. And they would have no problem flashing knives, guns, and you really, really had to be careful. You really had to watch it. I mean, I can remember in Boston, they in the Boston Garden, they eventually had to put up with, like, the hockey plexiglass around the ring to prevent people from coming in. Then they had to drop a net from the ceiling up, you know, down over the plexiglass to keep the debris from being thrown into the ring. I mean, they would throw everything, tear up chairs that they were sitting in to throw. I mean, it was dangerous. Had some good matches with Pedro. I mean, absolutely. But still, you had to have eyes behind your head because you didn't know when a brick was coming, a knife was coming, possible gun. Pretty dangerous.
One more question from Brian from Phoenix. He said, you wrestled on the card where Stan Stasiak lost his title to Bruno. What was the atmosphere like that day, that night?
After the matches?
Yeah.
Stasiak. I love Stasiak. You know, that was such a different time, and it was such a great time. And with those characters, Fuji and Tanaka and Stasiak and Lonnie Mane, that's from Portland, right? Moondog Mane. And I mean, those characters, I mean, they were incredible. But afterwards, Stasiak, I can remember Stasiak going to, I think that was in Philly. Now, Brian can correct me if I'm wrong. He either won it or lost it in Philly. I don't know, but I just don't remember really. But afterwards, Stan, he tied one on. The former champ, short-lived champ, he really tied one on. He sure did, yeah. But, you know, just a great time. Great guy, Stasiak was a great guy.
We're talking with Austin Idley, Universal Heartthrob. You can call in if you want to ask him a question at 6721-9828. Be sure to put one to get yourself in the queue, and I want to remind you that he's going to be at FanFest, NWA FanFest, on Friday, August the 4th, doing a Q&A at 10 in the morning, also 11 a.m. with photo ops, and noon you can get autographs. And you don't do too many of these things. This is a great opportunity for fans, a very rare opportunity to get to see Austin Idol.
No, I don't really. You know, I'm pretty selective. I mean, I do get inquiries here and there, you know, but I'm pretty selective. Greg Price does an incredible job, you know, there with his fan fest in Charlotte, and he did one in Atlanta I went to a while back. But Greg just really is a first-class guy and really cares, and he's very passionate about what he does, and he just puts on a hell of an event. He really, I don't know how he does it, but he continues to do it. So I'm going there through Greg, and it's just a great event, and I look forward to it. I really do. A lot of people, a lot of fans. Fans are great, and it's a lot of fun too. You know, I get to BS around a lot of people, and it's just cool. But no, I don't do too many of them. I'm pretty selective, but. You know, Jimmy, maybe you'll be my secret agent now, you know, and I'll let you field the calls and field the inquiries, and we'll see what we do, huh?
That'd be great, Matt. I'd love to be associated with the Universal Heartthrob. One of the things I want to ask you about is your transformation. You talked about being in the WWF in the early 70s, and then you transformed into Idol. You changed your body type, not unlike, as I explained, not unlike Flair. Where, you know, you both had the early 70s power lifter body, and then you came back with a whole new look and a persona. What prompted that? Was it the plane crash, or what was it?
No, it was the start of it. It was the start of it. After surviving the plane crash, I did end up going back to Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta, and I was still, you know, still recovering and rehabbing, really, but I wanted to get back to work and needed to get back to work. And I was still around 300 pounds, I guess. And I got phlebitis in my lower shin on my left leg. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I had a fever that was 105. And I was supposed to go to Augusta, Georgia that night, matter of fact. But I contracted this during the course of the day, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse, and I couldn't get the fever to break. Gary Hart was the booker. Of all people, Gary Hart, the guy I crashed in the plane with, was the booker. And I called Gary. I said, Gary, I'm not going to make it to Augusta tonight. I said, I got 105 fever, and I can't get it to break. And I'm going to go to the emergency room. And Gary said, I was the Georgia heavyweight champion at the time. He said, you have to go to Augusta. I'm not going to Augusta. So come pick up the belt. Send somebody over to pick up the belt. I'm not going to Augusta. And sure enough, I went to the emergency room. It's phlebitis. Go home. Elevate your leg. Ice on it. Put me on blood thinners, you know, anticoagulants. And stay in bed until the fever breaks. But the doctor told me, he said, listen, it's a blood clot. It's in your shin. It's in the wall of your vein. If it dislodges, it can go to your heart, your lungs, your brain, whatever. Heart attack, stroke, death. So, you know, it really scared me. I mean, it really scared me. And so finally the blood clot dissolved. And after it did, you know, I said, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm just going to take some time off and lose some weight and get my health in order. And I went back to Florida, took a year off, and I figured, you know, 2 pounds a week, that's doable. After a year, 52 weeks, that's 100 pounds. I should be around 200. So I got on it. You know, I trained. I mean, it always worked out anyway, but I trained religiously 6 days a week. I was doing cardio, running on the beach, and just, you know, I was really into it. I had the blinders on, my head down. I was in that zone, okay? And I stayed on that nutritional regimen, stayed on it for 6 days a week. One day a week, I'd blow it out and have a cheat day, and then get right back on it, and at the end of a year, I was right around 200 pounds, and I was starting to really like the way I looked. And really, I had made up my mind. I was out of the wrestling business. I quit. I wasn't going to go back, you know, plane crash, phlebitis, and the other, you know, crap, you know, that I'd experienced. And, you know, I looked in the mirror and I said, man, this guy looks pretty good. Maybe I'll take a shot at wrestling again, do the hair blonde, and create a whole new character. Came up with a name that was easy to remember, like Idol, Austin Idol, Universal Heartthrob. That's cool. That's a nice little tag. Women's Pet, Men's Regret. And the more I kind of put this thing together, the more I liked it. And I said, you know, this guy might actually do okay if he can figure out who he is and what he's all about. And maybe take a shot at it. So that's how that happened. I lost 100 pounds. I've kept it off, you know, give or take. You know, sometimes I'll gain 5 or 10 pounds, but I'll hit the brakes and I'll go right back. So that's what happened. That's how I lost 100, man. Became Austin Idol.
Let's go to the phone right now with some questions for Austin Idol. Let's go to 862, area code 862. You're on the live cast with Jim Valley and Austin Idol. Who's this and where are you calling from?
It's Kylan, Jim. How are you?
Good, Kylan. What do you got for Austin?
Okay, my first question for you, Austin, is why do you feel that heels in this era do not get, in the words of Vince McMahon, quote-unquote, disgusting heat to where fans legitimately dislike them as opposed to more just laugh them off or cheer them?
Okay, Jim, do me a favor and
sure,
repeat that for me.
Sure, man, no problem. He's wanting to know, you know, what's the difference between heat today with heels and heat in your time? Why do you think the heat's different?
Because there isn't any. There isn't any heat. It's been all taken away. I mean, it's all been taken away. You know, you let the genie out of the bottle only one time. You can't put the genie back in. So, you know, Vince, you can't – listen, the guy's a billionaire. Very successful guy, obviously, okay? And a lot of guys have made an awful lot of money with Vince. But when you go to the kids and you say, listen, Johnny, I hate to tell you this, Johnny, but there's no Santa Claus. Well, Vince told the kids there's no Santa Claus. You can't take that back. So that's the answer to that. That's why the credibility and believability is gone. Does it mean that the industry isn't still successful? Yeah, no, it doesn't. They're still successful. I mean, you look at television ratings now, the networks are happy if they get a 0.05. I just happened to look at the ratings, I think, for last SmackDown, it was between the 18 and, 49 category? 0.056, something like that. 2 million viewers. I mean, it's still 2 million viewers for the network. It's still 2 million viewers because there's nobody else out there. So, they lost the credibility of it. Could you ever bring that back? Probably to some degree, not like it was. You couldn't. I don't think you could. You know, you'd be doing pretty well to be able to get close to it. But I think there's still some opportunities in professional wrestling if you had the right organization together with everybody on the same page and enough funding, enough money to back it. I think there's some opportunities that are still out there in professional wrestling.
You're talking about kayfabe and making people believe. There's a great story about you making people believe with the battle royal you won. Was it for a Fred Ward? Could you tell that story?
Yeah, of course. Of course I can tell that story. Fred, I was living in Tampa. I had been in Georgia, and I got a call out of nowhere from Ole Anderson, who was the booker, and he wanted me to come in to Columbus, Georgia, to wrestle in a battle royal. So I said, sure, okay. And so I did that, and at the end of the night, I won the battle royal. So, again, that's kind of a weird situation because I wasn't wrestling there on a full-time basis. So, I mean, logically, if there is any logic, somebody else should have won that battle royal, somebody who was actually in the area, but whatever. So, I won the battle royal. I raised my hand, and here comes Fred Ward, who was the notorious thief. He was around me. He was such an obvious thief promoter. And I've said this so many times, Jim, that you knew when you went to Columbus, Georgia, on a Wednesday night, no matter if, whatever the house was sold out, whatever, you're going to get the shaft because you're not going to, but you'll make it up somewhere else because Jim Barnett was the promoter and Jim was a very generous guy. And so anyway, Fred comes into the ring, pulls out a check, gives me the check. I didn't even look at the check. I just took the check and one hand raised my hand up and with the check and the other arm up in the air, and went, stuck it in my tights. I put in my tights right there and went back to the dressing room. And as I was taking my tights off to get a shower, I just looked down the check and, damn, it's checks made out to Austin Isle, $5,000, winner of the Battle Royal, signed Fred Ward. That was crazy. I mean, that's probably the first time that has ever happened in the history of professional wrestling that a promoter would do that. Now, this guy's the notorious thief. He's a big thief. Nobody likes him. I mean, they don't like the guy because he steals from everybody. Everybody's working hard. I took the check, said whatever, put it in my bag, and flew back to Florida, and I took it out of my bag, and I put it in one of my dresser drawers. I don't know, it was a few months later. I'd totally forgotten about the check. I was going to go on a vacation, and a little drive vacation from Florida to Charlotte, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina for Christmas, right? So I look in the drawer, bang, I stumble on the check, and I look at the thing, I said, damn, okay, it's 2-3 months old, but I'm going to take a shot at this thing. It just hit me. So I'm driving up to outside of Charlotte, pass through Atlanta. I go to the bank I used to bank at, no account, nothing there. Went in, and people recognized me because it hadn't been that long. Hey, Austin, how you doing? What's going on? Where you been? Blah, blah, blah. Did they throw you in jail or what? Whatever. And I went up to the teller, and I endorsed it. Bang, Austin Idol. She gave me, how did you like it, Mr. Idol? Hundreds would be fine. She peeled them off, 5,000, put them in an envelope, got back in my car, and said, hey, what a nice Christmas gift. And that's how that happened, yeah. Of course, that sent ripples across the world of wrestling. Ripples. I mean, that was a big deal. Nobody, all the boys couldn't believe it. Said, man, finally somebody stuck it to somebody, to a promoter. They really stuck it to them, And, yeah, I did it.
You cashed sure a did. Fake battle royal check, everybody. Let's go back to the phone line. Let's go to area code 240. 240, you're on the air with Jim Valley and Austin Idol. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what you got for Austin Idol?
My question for Austin is, how hard was it to work with Abdullah the Butcher?
It was hard at times and easy at other times, depending on Abdullah on any given night. But, Abdullah was Abdullah, he was a one-of-a-kind type guy, that vicious guy, always had something he was going to stab you with, and he was really believable, and he was a solid guy. I mean, when you wrestled Abdullah, I mean, you felt him. I mean, you felt Abdullah. There was no BS about it. I mean, but he was a box office attraction. So it was cool. I would give Abdullah a very, very cool rating. Yeah, I sure would. Yeah.
I've got an email here from another Brian who wants to know who you felt your greatest opponent was.
Oh, man. Greatest. I mean, so many guys. I mean, over the years, and I'm sure I've forgotten a lot of them, had some great matches with Flair. Obviously, Lawler. Had Tommy Rich when I was in Georgia as a bad guy. And Tommy was, everybody loved Tommy. I mean, he was the fair-haired child. I mean, you could just look the wrong way at Tommy and people would hate you. And Tommy was a great performer. I mean, back in those days, he was great, man. He really was. I had some good matches with Jack Briscoe. I had some matches with Jack Briscoe. I had a few good ones with Terry Funk. So many of them. It's a tough one to nail down. But, Lawler, I mean, Lawler and I had that history. I mean, God, it spanned over a decade of time, on and off, on and off. It's a pretty rich history.
What about territories? Did you have a favorite place to? Did you have a favorite place to work? Yeah, did you have a favorite place you liked?
Well, I would have to say my favorite place was Memphis because I worked part time, Jim. See, and there's a lot of people that don't. I mean, they don't understand that. They really don't understand what I had going on, and my deal was so unique and different, and that I would work part time. And people said, "Well, he was afraid to fly." I wasn't afraid to fly. I mean, after the plane crash, that's all total bullshit. I wasn't afraid to fly. I mean, I was living in Tampa. They would Memphis would fly me up on a Monday afternoon. I'd fly into Memphis, spend the night. They'd fly me to Louisville, spend the night, take a very short car ride over to Evansville, Indiana, usually with Jim Cornette, who wasn't even in the business. His mom was a driver. Jimmy Cornette was sitting shotgun, and Valiant and I would be in the back. So we take that little ride over to Evansville, Indiana. I'd wrestle, and then Thursday they'd fly me back home, and I'd be home Thursday morning in Tampa. So I'd be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I wouldn't leave again until 4 or 5 o'clock on Monday. It was a part-time gig, but they paid me well. I mean, they really did, and I was so happy with it because I thought, shoot, man, I'll go home if I want to, go to the beach, take the boat out. I'll do whatever while everybody else is beating their brains out going down, up and down the highways or wherever in whatever territory. I didn't care. I said, shoot, I'm happy, man. I have a life.
So that was more important to you than, say, being a touring world champion in that era? Because I personally think that you could have been a touring world champion, but you prefer quality of life versus any accolades in wrestling.
I could have been a contender.
Well, you were somebody.
Look at me, Jimmy. Now look at me. I'm just a bum.
I wouldn't go that far.
Hey, listen. Yeah, I mean, I think I could have. Yeah, sure. The quality of life has always been a very important thing to me, always, because you can't turn back the clock. And I look at my peers, some of them are dead. I mean, really, they're gone. And then there's a lot of them, same age, right about it, you know, I mean, not doing well physically, not doing well mentally, and I feel terrible about that. But I've maintained, for the most part, a quality of life forever. I mean, I really have. I mean, there've been a few times where I really, really worked my tail off, and I said, Charlotte was one of them with Ole Anderson, the Booker, you know, Roddy was just there getting kind of his feet wet in Charlotte, and they worked you guys to death there 7 days a week, twice on Sundays, three times on Wednesdays, no days off. I did that for about 6 months. I said, forget this, out of here, back to Florida. Yeah, quality of life, you can't turn back the clock. But you got to be fearless.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you had the opportunity to be a touring world champion back in that era, and you said you agreed to do it for whatever reason, just for fun here. Where do you think you would have fit in better with as an NWA champion, AWA champion, or a WWF champion?
Probably, God, that's a great question. I think NWA. I really do. I mean, that was my roots, you know. I think NWA. Although, I mean, it would have been NWA or WWF at the time, you know. And actually, they had the great deal with Vince as a champ, you know. I mean, you just worked the big venues and you're off and still making great money. So that probably would have been a better fit for me.
We're talking with Austin Idol, the Universal Heartthrob, and he's going to be at NWA Fan Fest. The Fan Fest is coming up next month, August 4th through the 7th, and you can see Austin Idol on the 5th. 10 a.m. he's going to be doing a Q&A. You can ask questions about all kinds of things that throughout his storied career. Also, you can get a photo op with Austin Idol at 11 a.m. and then noon he's going to be signing autographs. And again, there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be a Jimmy Garvin Q&A, of course, a Road Warrior Animal, Magnum TA. Jim Cornette is going to be doing his late night experience. Tony Schiavone is going to be there, another person who doesn't make too many of these fan fests. And Lady Blossom, Jeannie Clark, who was married to Stone Cold Steve Austin, Billy Jack Haynes, and Chris Adams. So lots of new things. I don't know how they do it, but each year Greg Price is able to pull out new stuff each and every time. But we're talking with Austin Idol here. And I guess people probably most associate you with Memphis wrestling. We got a question here from David, who wants to know about your time wrestling Randy Savage in Memphis. And you were kind of a key person in Randy Savage's career. He was, you know, a lot of people don't remember that he was very much an outlaw for a large point in his career, and through you, he was able to sort of get back into the mainstream.
Yeah, it's so interesting, you know, that he was. Randy was one of those guys. I mean, he did it his way, and he really did, and he was obviously a tremendous talent. I mean, God, the guy was such an athlete, unbelievable athlete, and just a great all-around performer and personality. I mean, he had it. I mean, he really, really had it, and he'd gotten into some issues with some folks, just about everybody, I guess, the promoters, and nobody liked him, and he was blackballed and yada yada. But and he had a promotion in Missouri. I can't think of the town, but anyway, I think it was like 400 miles away from Memphis. And Randy was trying to get back into mainstream, and he'd called Jerry Jarrett, and you know, to lobby about, you know, working for Jarrett. Jarrett went to Lawler. Lawler didn't want to work with him because he had this past, you know, and Randy, we could punch your lights out or whatever. He didn't like it. He just beat you up, you know, I mean, or damn sure try. And so Lawler didn't want to take that chance, and I can't blame Jerry. I mean, I don't, you know, but so Jarrett came to me and said, look, Idol, will you work with Randy Savage? He wants to come in. And I said, sure, bring him in. Because I didn't even know him. I mean, I really didn't know him. I knew his history, but I didn't know him. And I knew my history, and I thought, well, heck, you know, I wasn't exactly a choir boy either, you know. So they brought him in, and Lanny and his father were there that night at the Coliseum in Memphis. And when they all got there, I grabbed Randy up. I said, Randy, come on, let's have a little conversation. We went to my dressing room, closed the door, and I just said, just told him up front. I said, look, Randy, nobody wanted to use you, but I volunteered to, you know, that I would work with you. I said, so let's look at this thing as a business. Let's make some money. Okay. And let's really get it on, but no bullshit, Randy. Okay. No bullshit. Straight up. Let's make some money together. And he just said, let's do it. Let's do it, brother. And, we had a nice little run there, and I can remember. I think I had the belt, international belt, or whichever one it was, and I believe it was the first night that Randy and I wrestled. I think it was the first night, Jim, and I dropped the belt to him. So bang, he was over immediately because I was over pretty good there. So he was over immediately, and then we had a nice little run. And then of course the build up was for Randy and Lawler, and they did work together, and they did well. But a great guy, and his family, Jimmy, his family, Lanny, and his dad, I mean, great people. Nothing but good things to say about those folks.
Let's go to the phone line for another question for the Universal Heartthrob, Austin Idol. Let's go to 773. 773, you're on the live cast, Jim Valley and Austin Idol. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Boris from Chicago.
Boris, what do you got for Austin?
My first question for Austin is, were you surprised to see how many of our wrestlers and announcers went into podcasts like Stone Cold, Ric Flair, which was really shocking to me, you know, but were you shocked or surprised that most of the wrestlers gravitated social media as the podcast and the stuff?
No, not really. No, I mean, everything changes, and, you know, digital is so hot and social is so hot. So, no, not really. And if there's opportunities out there, you know, I'm all about the capitalism. So, you know, if you got an opportunity, man, you should grab it. Absolutely. So, no, I really wasn't surprised. No.
What was your favorite, Chicago? What was your favorite place to wrestle?
favorite place to wrestle? You know, there's a lot of venues there, but, you know, when you think about these landmark venues, I mean, Madison Square Garden has to be right at the top, even though I wasn't on top back then because, you know, I was still, you know, still young in the business. But, you know, the first time you walk out into the garden, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it's got a ring to it, doesn't it? Madison Square Garden, yeah. Pretty cool. But I mean, you know, I wrestled in Sydney, Australia, and you know, a lot of places. I mean, so many big venues, very cool stuff. But I like the garden. I'm going to go with the garden.
There's a YouTube video of you wrestling Mil Máscaras in Japan, and you know, you're you know, and the well, we could talk about Mil, and you know, Mil is Mil, but obviously the Japanese fans react differently. They're very quiet. And as I watch the match, it's like you're talking and you're trying to get the crowd going with your body language and a few English phrases and things, and it just seemed like a completely different experience for you.
I would have rather had a root canal than wrestling Mil Máscaras. You know, maybe the greatest guy in the world. I don't know, never knew him, but that has to probably be the worst match I've ever been in. Worst.
And why
awful.
Is that?
Nightmare. Because the guy, I mean, he just didn't. Listen, you know, there's got to be some give and take, you know, and take and give. But this guy wants to take and take. And I wasn't going to do that. So, I mean, I figured that out really, really quickly from Jump Street on that match. I said, okay, this guy's not going to do anything. It's all about himself and whatever. So that's fine. I can play that game too. And it turned out to be an absolute atrocity. It was an atrocity. I don't think I wrestled him again. I probably would have remembered. But that one just got awful. God awful.
What about a guy like Stan Hansen, who you really got to work for it? How was that?
Well, it's like wrestling a freight train. Yeah, so here's this freight train speeding down the tracks, and you're standing on the railroad tracks, and you're staring at this train, and you got two choices. You know, you get off the track, or you just let this thing collide with you, you know, and then good luck. But Stan, I love Stan Hansen. He's a good friend. He really is. I don't talk to him as much as we don't talk to each other as much as we used to, but we can pick up the phone right now and have a lot of fun. But Stan came into Memphis, and I suggested it. I said, bring in Stan Hansen, and I'll let me wrestle with Stan Hansen. Stan had just come back from Japan, I mean like a day or two. So he's got that Japanese mentality going, you know, kill. He's got the kill mentality going. And, yeah, he damn near did, too. He damn near killed me. You know, and that was my, you know, that's our bread and butter, right? But, man, he's a big badass. I mean, that's legit, you know. Stan was a big badass Texan, and you're not going to push him around. You got to kind of have to hope he likes you a little bit, you know. And we were friends. We were good friends. But, man, he's just all over me. And I told him after, I said, Stan, this ain't going to work. We're not in Tokyo, man. This is not going to work. You're going to have to get, you know, come on, Americanized here real fast or something's going to have to give. And I plan on, this is my bread and butter here. You know, you can go back to Japan and make bukus of money. I said, but this is where my action is. So he got it, you know, he got it. And we did wrestle a little bit, you know, and it wasn't a long-term thing, and I knew it wouldn't be. But to this day, he accuses me of getting him fired, you know.
Now, did you leave Memphis right after wrestling Stan Hansen? Because there's, I think, the stories out there that you didn't like it so much that you just packed up and left again. Is that accurate?
It wouldn't be because of Stan. No. Oh, I would leave Memphis whenever. I would either leave when I wanted to go or leave when there was a mutual agreement. And I had that kind of relationship with Jerry Lawler. It was a great relationship with Lawler. It really was that Jerry and I, we knew. And I would tell Jerry, I would say this to Jerry. I said, Jerry, I'm easy to hire and easy to fire. Because they spent money on me, bringing me in every week. All the transportation, you know, fees, and they paid me well. So, you know, I mean, if there was something there that I just thought was, I didn't like, I thought this was not good business, I said, okay, I'm out of here.
All right. Well, we're talking with
Austin. Yeah. Go ahead, Jane.
No, good. As we're talking with Austin Idol, and of course, we'll get into it in just a second here, right after the break. We'll talk with him about the infamous hair match in Memphis. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the PW Torch Livecast. Saturday Morning Wrestling.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWT PWTorch.com/Amazon. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
It's Saturday Morning Wrestling with Jim Valley. We are live here at PWTorch.com. And if you're new to Saturday Morning Wrestling, each and every Saturday from 8:30 Pacific and 11:30 on the East Coast, we talk old-school wrestling, retro wrestling, and we've had some great guests in the past, including people like George South and Brian Blair. And today we've got one of the people that I've really been looking forward to talk to, one of my favorites, Austin Idol, is on the show. He's going to be at NWA Fan Fest in Charlotte. That happens the 4th to the 7th, and he's going to be there on the 5th doing a Q&A, a rare Q&A, your chance to ask Austin Idol questions. Also, photo ops and autographs. You can get more information and book it at nwalegends.com. So we can't let you get away, Austin, without talking about maybe, you know, one of the biggest, most famous things in the history of Memphis wrestling, and that, of course, is your cage match where you were the only person ever to shave the head of Jerry Lawler. Now, it starts with Tommy Rich, and it ends with you in the cage and the riot. How planned out was this? Did you know in advance that you were coming in? How did this all work?
Did I know in advance that I was coming in? What, Jim?
Yeah, when it started. I mean, it starts with Tommy Rich frustrated that he's not getting world title shots, and then you come into the picture, and the story weaves its way all the way to the big climax with the cage match. At what point did you know that you were coming in, and this is where it was going?
Oh, I knew it from the jump. I mean, I knew it from the get-go because I was in on the whole thing with Lawler. Sure. Oh. Lawler and Jerry Jarrett. Yeah, I knew it from the get-go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure was. Yeah, I knew the whole thing from the beginning to the end. Yeah, absolutely knew it. Sure.
Now, did you ever have any concerns? I mean, once you shaved Lawler's head, there was pretty close to a riot on your hands. Did you have any concerns going into this? Did you expect that kind of reaction?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely expected it. And it could have really gotten ugly. I mean, it could have really gotten ugly. And Paul Heyman, you know, Paul was too young to understand it, you know. I mean, he knew when it was getting out of control, but I know for a fact he didn't realize how bad it could be and how bad it could get. And I told him, and Tommy, you know, God bless Tommy. Tommy had been under the ring, probably knocked down, you know, a couple six-packs or whatever. So, you know, he had a little extra gas in his tank and probably didn't care, you know. So I think I was the only one who really, really got it. And I told both those guys, I said, when they open that gate, don't look back. When you hit that floor, run. And that's a cardinal sin. I mean, and I always knew that. That's, you never run. But when you have all those people so infuriated, you don't know who's got a knife, you don't know who's got a gun, and the thing of it is, by some chance, if you get knocked down, the game is over, because they're all going to get on you and possibly kill you, likely kill you. And so I told those guys, I said, guys, you hit that floor, man, run. Don't look back. Run. And I may have been the leader of that pack. Because I got it. I knew. I'd been in some scary situations before, plenty of them, and this one I knew could get real ugly, and it was hot, man. That was so hot. Those people were absolutely killing mad, and the cops were scared. I could see the look in the cops' eyes. They were afraid because they knew they were outnumbered, and if these people get out of control, the cops are in trouble, too. They're in, you know, we'll take the cops out, too.
Now, obviously, you're one of the first Paul Heyman guys. Did you know that he was going to have such a bright future in wrestling when you were working with him in Memphis?
No, I didn't, you know, but Paul, and this, you know, and I've mentioned this a couple times, but the reason Paul became my manager is because I asked Lawler about it, because I liked Paul. You know, he was a young kid, brash, you know, and we befriended each other, and I liked him, you know, and he was just kind of a cool little character, you know, and had real up and bubbly personality, and I liked him. So I went to, and he was just fledgling. He was fledgling in Memphis. They really weren't doing anything with him. But I saw something in him that I thought, this guy could be okay. I'd never had a manager ever in Memphis. So I went to Lawler. I said, hey, why don't you put this kid with me as my manager? I said, it gives me a different spin on me, since people knew I never had a manager before. So it throws something a little bit different on me. And I like the kid, and I think he'll do well. So, yeah, I'm the one who actually pulled there on that, on his ascent in the wrestling business.
Now, that maybe with the exception of Lawler's world title win, that was one of the last big hurrahs in Memphis wrestling history, as it succumbed to WWF and the national expansion, even though it stayed on for a number of years after. But what do you attribute the success to the head shaving angle and the gates that it drew?
Oh, well, the talent that was involved, the way it was all laid out, and of course, the wrestling fans, they knew there's no way that Lawler's going to lose a hair match, because he had shaved everybody's head previously. I mean, girlfriends, wives, boyfriends, mistresses, everybody got their head shaved. When Lawler was in a hair match, you knew who was going to win, Jerry Lawler. So when I put the $50,000 on the line that I would refund everybody's ticket, I mean, they knew they were going to get their money back, so we're going to go watch a cage match, a hair match, and we're going to get our money back too, because there's no way Lawler's going to lose the hair match. It was like a no-brainer. So, well, to their surprise, he did, and they didn't. He did, and they didn't. And I'm sure that also pissed them off. Hey, we're going to get our money back. We didn't get our money back. And our hometown hero, he lost the hair match. Oh man, they were livid.
As you went from town to town and working the Memphis territory, were there any areas, any towns that had a different vibe as far as the fans went?
Louisville was hot. Louisville Gardens, it was a hot market. It was good. That little goofy Evans. Well, see, I didn't work full time there, so I think I only did Nashville one time, because that was a Saturday night. So I hardly ever did Nashville. I think I only did it one time. I never went to Nashville. So my three towns were really the good payday ones. Memphis is where you made your money. Louisville, you made money. Then once a month, you made money in Rupp Arena, okay, in Lexington. So once a month, I would actually work 4 days a week. God, what was I thinking? 4 days a week. Oh. But then, so what was I thinking? I should.
Sheesh.
Oh well.
What's your deal?
Too late now. Too late now. Yeah. But so anyway, I can remember going to Evansville when it had snowed, and it was iced over. It really was. I mean, all the weather bulletins, don't go out unless it's an emergency, don't go out. Sold out. It was me and Lawler, and we were hot. And it was unbelievable that it wasn't a big building, granted, but nevertheless, those people went out and risked their lives in an ice storm to go to the matches.
How would you compare working the Memphis territory versus working Continental for the Fullers?
There were some similarities. There were some similarities in how they ran their business. But Ron Fuller, who owned that area at the time, and that's who I did my business with. He was the owner, and I had a good deal with Ron, and he honored it. He always honored it. They were very creative, and they had good talent, man. I mean, they had good guys that could perform. I mean, they had good talent, good workers, and that's old Alabama, man. And where they take their sports very seriously. The state motto in Alabama?
I don't.
If you don't understand it, shoot it. If you don't understand it, they're serious about their sports, man. And it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing some of the money that was drawn down there, you know, between Birmingham, Alabama, and Dothan, Alabama, Montgomery, I mean, Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida. I mean, I had a great deal there, you know, and I know there's people that have said, oh, I don't want to be a big fish in a little pond. No, I didn't. I really didn't. I wanted to be home in my bed every night. I was home in my bed every night where everybody else is on the road beating their brains out and living out of a suitcase, and not me. And I had an agreement with Ron Fuller that I could sell my own merchandise. And at the time, for a long time, I was the only one there that sold his own merchandise. And I sold everything, Jim, from dog tags to women's lingerie, you name it. I mean, shirts, pictures, bumper stickers. I can't even remember the things that I would always had to continue to one-up myself of what's the next, you know, item of merch that I could get out there that'll be different. But, you know, it was all cash money.
Speaking of your branding, do you think that Hulkamania was taken from Idolmania, or was it a coincidence?
No, it was, and he told me that. I had a conversation with the Hulk. Oh, it's been a long time now, probably. Actually, it was right before he left to go. He had just got the gig to go to TNA. He was in... We were both in Florida. I guess he was living there in Clearwater on the beach, and I was down living in a condo in Tampa in downtown. And Jimmy Hart was the one who coordinated the call. And he called. I said, Jimmy, give him my number. So he called. And when I picked up the phone, he said, Idolmania. I think I'll steal that. You know, of course, he'd already made a ton of money, you know. And that's the first time we had spoken in a long time. And we talked for a while. And he said, yeah, I'm going to TNA and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, listen, when you get there, you know, stay in touch with me. Boom, nothing.
There it is. Well, we have barely touched the surface with Austin Idol this morning. But you can ask your questions and hear even more on Friday, August 5th at the NWA Legend Charlotte Fan Fest. Q&A with Austin Idol at 10 a.m., Austin Idol photo ops at 11, and at noon signing autographs. So we'll take advantage of this rare opportunity to see the Universal Heartthrob in the flesh, the women's pet, the men's regret. I really appreciate your time, man. I've enjoyed this even more than I thought I was going to, and I was really... really looking forward to it. So thanks so much for your time this morning, Austin. I can't express how much I appreciate and how much I've enjoyed this.
Jim, my pleasure. You're really first class and just a great host. I mean, truly you are. You're a great host. And remember, you're my secret agent. So people out there, they are interested in the possibility, as remote as it might be, to have me somewhere. You're going to have to go through my secret agent here, Jim Valley, and then we'll hook up.
Great. You're going to work 3 days a week. I'm now going to work 7 days a week because I'm going to have all deluged with all these requests. Oh, man.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Take it easy, kid. Take it easy.
I wish you the best. And again, thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you in Charlotte on August 5th. And be sure to check out NWALegends.com to find out more about the Charlotte Fan Fest. Austin Idol, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Later on.
All right, man. There's the man, Austin Idol, and this has been a great show. I appreciate your time, and remember to sign up at pwtorch.com/govip, and when you go through Amazon, be sure to sign up with PW Torch. Use that code before you make your purchases, and it's just that easy. It costs you nothing, and you can thank Wade and everybody here for all of the extra content. I'm gone next week. Pat McNeil is going to be here with Magnum TA, I think. I think it's going to be Magnum TA next week. And then the week after, I'll be back with, I believe, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. So it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next week here on Saturday Morning Wrestling.